From WYPR, I'm Sheila Cast. We're On the Record. Lack of insurance, difficulty finding bilingual medical providers, fear of being detained by federal agents. All these barriers push Baltimore's Latino community away from adequate health care. To bridge the gaps, Central Soul at Johns Hopkins Bayview offers clinical care, advocacy, and education. Executive Director Monica Guerrero Vasquez explains the importance of culturally competent care. And Central Soul co-founder Dr. Kathleen Page describes the chilling effect of fear. She tells of a patient who missed an important appointment.
She said there was a security guard in the front desk, and I was worried that that person would ask me for papers.
And Raquel Rojas shares her experience in a Central Soul support group, all on the record after the news.
You're listening to On the Record, the podcast, a service of your public radio, 88.1 WYPR. Find more podcasts online at wypr.org. And tell us what you think. Send an email to ontherecord@wypr.org.
Good morning, I'm Sheila Cast. We're On the Record. About 30,000 Baltimore City residents are Hispanic or Latino. Of those younger than 65, 2 out of 5 have no health insurance. That's an estimate from the health policy nonprofit, the Kaiser Family Foundation. Beyond limited access to insurance, the medical system is difficult to navigate for those who don't speak English or for those who are worried about disclosing their immigration status. How are these barriers affecting the health of Baltimore's Latino population? The Center for Salud, Spanish for health, the Center for Salud and Opportunities for Latinos is known as Centro Sol. It's a multidisciplinary health program at Johns Hopkins Bayview Medical Center, serving the needs of the Latino community through clinical care, research, advocacy, community programs, and education. Joining me to talk about this mission is Monica Guerrero Vasquez, Executive Director of Centro Sol. She was also part of the inaugural class of Bloomberg American Health Initiative Fellows at the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health. Thanks so much for being here.
Thank you very much.
And also with us is Dr. Kathleen Page, Associate Professor in the Division of Infectious Diseases at Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine. She's also co-founder of Central Sol. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Dr. Page, why did you start Central Sol?
This started a few years ago. Myself and other clinicians at Hopkins started to see more immigrant patients in our clinic and in the community, particularly those that were Spanish-speaking. I myself am from South America, and I always like to say that probably my biggest skill at Hopkins is that I'm a Spanish-speaking physician. Unfortunately, we don't have that many fluent physicians at Hopkins, or at least we didn't at the time. And what I noticed, and I do infectious diseases, was that there was a huge need. People were coming into care very late, had waited for months, sometimes even longer with symptoms before they came to the hospital seeking care. And at that point, treatment for diseases gets more complicated. I reached out to some of my colleagues and found that some of them were facing similar challenges in caring for their patients. And so I met a wonderful group of doctors and advocates and social workers who were interested in this topic and decided that there was a need to really improve how we provide care to limited English proficiency immigrants in Baltimore and address both issues of access as well as the type of care that we provide so that it's culturally and linguistically sensitive.
So the shortage of bilingual care, a big issue. How does that affect your patients?
It is an important issue. So there's good data showing that having language concordance, in other words, providers that speak your same language, really can improve communication and health outcomes. So that's the first thing. The second thing is that navigating the healthcare system, even for those who speak English, is quite complicated. Well, imagine trying to do that when you don't speak the language. It becomes 100 times harder. And so I was hearing stories of patients who were telling us, I tried to get into the clinic. I was told I needed to follow up for this, but I just did not know how to make the appointment because nobody could reach out to me. So one thing that we emphasize is that it's not only important to have bilingual clinicians or at least language services, translation and interpretation that is appropriate, and it doesn't mean that the daughter of the patient is interpreting the clinical visit, but actually having medical interpreters, but also the importance of having people in the front desk that can either speak the language or at least access language access services so that people can navigate the system.
People who don't have insurance, do they tend to show up for care at the emergency room?
Yes and no is my answer. So many people, and especially those who don't have health insurance, who often are poor or have low income, know that going to the emergency department is very expensive. So many people will try to avoid going to the emergency room unless they have something really serious and life-threatening. On the other hand, for those who don't have health insurance, where getting into primary care or having a regular doctor may not be something that is accessible to them, the only option they may see is going to the emergency room.
Another barrier, I'm told, is people who are not in the U.S. legally fear their immigration status will make them a target if they go to the hospital or doctor's office.
They are afraid of being caught. And actually, today I got a patient who visited our office trying to find resources for a family member. And as I was printing our list of resources, the first thing he said, I don't want you to send me to a place where I'm going to be detained and sent to ICE. So, yes, the fear is present in everything they do, and especially any interactions that they have with big institutions like ours. So have people at the forefront working with them and making sure that they feel safe is super important.
Well, Central Seoul doesn't run its own physical clinic. It works with a variety of community providers. Where do people go for medical care?
There are very limited resources for primary care. So there are community clinics or benefits that the hospitals may have to provide primary care or specialty care for uninsured and underinsured patients. We partner very closely with the Esperanza Center. That's a community-based organization under the Catholic Charities. And they have different services. One is the clinical care or the clinic. It's a community-based clinic. And we partner with them to have a medical director who provides care part-time to see and provide primary care for patients. Johns Hopkins also offers the Access Partnership Program that provides a specialty care for those patients who are referred from the Esperanza Center and other community physicians clinics. But it's only if you live in certain zip codes and certain areas and meet the poverty requirements.
How many people does Central Seoul treat or serve? How many patients are we talking about?
That's a difficult question to answer because we are a center that that's a convening site for many different activities, but we also have clinics that work and are affiliated with us. For example, at the Children's Medical Practice at Bayview, which is one of our affiliated clinics, that clinic, I believe, has over 10,000 patients, the majority of whom are children born to immigrant families. So that's just one clinic. We serve patients in my clinic as well as the health department because we have collaborations there and we see thousands of patients. And in addition, we have a lot of community-based events, health-related events.
Yeah, we have partnerships with community-based organizations in Baltimore, and we organize about 64 events per year. And we probably reached, last year we reached over 4,000 people through these community events.
This is On the Record on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cast, speaking with Monica Guerrero-Vasquez, Executive Director of the Latino Health Organization Central Seoul, and with the organization's co-founder, Dr. Kathleen Page. We're talking about how Central Seoul is bridging the barriers to affordable health care. Of course, Baltimore's immigrant community has been bracing for impact since President Trump announced plans for raids and fast-track deportations. What is the psychological impact of this on people who are undocumented and living in Baltimore?
It is huge and cannot be underestimated. We started seeing an impact very early on during this administration, and I have many stories of patients who have called us and said they can't pick up their medications because they're worried that when they do that, something's going to happen, that they won't come to the clinic. There was one patient who had a condition that really needed to be treated, and we had made all the arrangements for this patient to come in. And she said she was coming, and then she didn't come. And when I followed up with her about an hour later, she said there was a security guard in the front desk, and I was worried that that person would ask me for papers. So that is a level of fear that people are living with. And I think, you know, often, especially when there's a lot of immigration activity, patients feel like they're making a calculated risk. Is it worth for me to go to the doctor, sign up for a certain benefit, do this and that, if it may risk my family unity, if it may put me at risk of being deported? And I think that not only affects access to care, it has a chilling effect on the use of services that are available to the public, but it's also an enormous stressor.
And of course, this week, Ken Cuccinelli, acting director of the Citizenship and Immigration Services Office, spoke on NPR about a new rule to deny green cards and visas to immigrants if they use or are likely to need federal, state, and local government benefits like food stamps and, I guess, Medicaid. Mm-hmm. Cuccinelli told NPR that Emma Lazarus's poem on the Statue of Liberty essentially means, quote, "Give me your tired and your poor who can stand on their own two feet and who will not become a public charge," close quote. What do you make of this move by the federal government?
There's possibly short-term political expediency, but in the long term, this will have devastating effects, and in the short term as well. I think I can see how a lot of people may think this makes sense. Why would we already can barely provide a safety net for Americans. Why would we do this for immigrants? What I would like to remind people is that most immigrants come to this country wanting to work or fleeing persecution. But most people really come here wanting to work. Immigrants all over the world tend to be healthier and younger than non-immigrants. Our country also really relies on immigrant work, and many of those jobs are low income. So 25% of the construction jobs in this country are held by immigrants. These are not high-paying jobs, but these immigrants are coming here to work hard, and they will have children. And when the government restricts benefits to immigrants, they're not only restricting the benefit to the person itself, but also to the children who are U.S. citizens and who are sent to lose a lot. It is estimated that about 18 million children in this country have an immigrant parent. Not all of them are low income, and not all of them necessarily receive aid. But for those that do, this will have a huge impact.
It's impacting the present and the future of the immigrant communities, which are also very diverse. U.S.-born children are afraid of what's going to happen with their parents after this. And there is the uncertainty because nobody can explain how these measures are being discussed and what is going to happen to them and their parents. So it's disheartening to see the suffering that these news are causing in our communities. And we see that every day.
And I also will say that, regarding this specific policy, but just generally anti-immigrant sentiment, the repercussions are not only on immigrant families. They're really for the whole community. Because when people, and there have been studies showing that people are less likely to report crimes that they see, they're less likely to engage in certain events, community events, even with the schools, when they're afraid that their public activities could lead to family separation. It's not just the immigrant families that lose. Everyone loses.
I'm grateful to you both for talking to us. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Thank you.
Dr. Kathleen Page is a co-founder of Central Saul and an associate professor in the Division of Infectious Diseases at Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine. Monica Guerrero-Vasquez is executive director of Central Saul. She's going to stick with us while we take this short break on the record on WYPR. I'm Sheila Kasperin. We're back. The difference Central Saul has made for one woman. We'll hear her story. Stay with us.
This is the On the Record podcast, a service of Your Public Radio, member-supported 88.1 WYPR. You can support this podcast and everything you hear from WYPR. Become a member. Come to WYPR.org and click the donate link.
Welcome back to On the Record. I'm Sheila Kast. Baltimore's Latino residents face many challenges when navigating the healthcare system, from language barriers to a lack of insurance to fears about their immigration status. The Johns Hopkins program Centro Sol aims to ease those challenges by offering affordable bilingual healthcare and outreach tailored to the Latino community. I'm speaking with Monica Guerrero-Vasquez, the executive director of Central Saul, and joining us is Raquel Rojas, who participated in an outreach group run by Central Saul. Monica will be translating for her. Welcome, Raquel.
Thank you.
Monica, what type of outreach programs does Central Saul offer?
Currently, we have been working a lot on mental health. We offer a support group for Latino adults. It's facilitated in Spanish. We also partner with schools offering a similar program based on CBT or cognitive behavioral therapy in schools for adolescents who are newly arrived, who migrated to the U.S. after experiencing a lot of traumas. And
again, that's in Spanish.
In Spanish, too, yeah. We have also started a study on suicidality, and we have conducted focus groups with adults and teens to learn about where we are, what are the risks, and what we can do to prevent suicidality in the Latino community, and particularly among Latino youth, because that uncertainty that we're going through, that they are experiencing, and the stress is affecting our youth so much that it goes beyond of what they can control and affects what they think that can be solved.
Now, one of your outreach programs is Testimonios.
Yes, Testimonios is the mental health support group for adults.
And who leads that group?
So we have social workers and therapists who are bilingual, who facilitate the groups, and it's offered for adults in Spanish.
Raquel, why did you decide to attend this group?
Porque yo tenía muchos problemas, estaba yo muy gorda.
I had a lot of problems. I felt that I was overweight.
No podía yo caminar,
I couldn't
me sofocaba.
Walk. I was very tired.
Yo comía demasiado.
I used to eat a lot.
Me daba mucha ansiedad.
Like I had a lot of anxiety and I just wanted to eat.
Yo empecé a ir a Centro Sol.
So when I started going to Centro Sol,
ellos me orientaron a cómo debería de comer.
They guided me as how I should eat.
Hacer ejercicio.
To exercise.
Yo nunca hacía ejercicio.
Because I never
Yo solo me
did exercise.
Trabajando.
I used to work all the time.
Y nunca tenía tiempo para hacer ejercicio.
And I never had time to exercise.
Y para tener como una alimentación
or
buena.
To have a healthy
ahora,
lifestyle.
Pues, he bajado de peso y
lost weight.
Hago ejercicio.
I exercise regularly.
He dejado de tomar soda, que
I'm not
eso
drinking
era lo
soda.
Que me gustaba más y no tomaba
and
nada
that,
de agua.
I used to love that and I didn't drink water.
Ahora estoy, me siento mejor.
And now I feel better.
He participado en maratones.
I used to run
corrido,
marathons.
O sea,
I run.
Me siento más activa.
I feel more active.
Was it hard to feel comfortable enough to share with a group?
De momento, uno sí se siente como incómodo,
you feel uncomfortable,
nos dan la confianza
but
de
they
que podemos,
make you feel
podemos,
that you can share
hablar con la gente
and you can talk
porque,
to people.
A veces pensamos que solo nosotros tenemos
because
problemas,
sometimes we think that we are the
no
only ones who have problems,
otras personas
but we don't know that
peores problemas
other people
que uno.
Have worse problems than we
podemos
we have.
Ver los que están bien y todo,
so we can see them that they are doing fine, but we don't know what they feel inside.
Y para mí ha sido una gran experiencia.
So for me, it has been a great experience
estar con Centro Sol,
to be with Centro Sol
con ellos
and participate with them
estar yendo testimonios.
And go to testimonials.
This is On the Record on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cast, speaking with Raquel Rojas, who participated in an outreach group run by Central Sol. Central Sol is a health organization at Johns Hopkins Bayview Medical Center that serves Baltimore's Latino population. Also with us is Central Sol's executive director, Monica Guerrero-Vasquez. Monica, what can other healthcare providers learn from Central Sol about working with Latino or Hispanic patients?
We have developed a system in partnership with other healthcare providers by building networks of support where we bring together different professionals to discuss about different topics that we want to address. One of the initiatives or projects that we started in 2014 when we started at Centro Sol is the research consultation service, because sometimes there is a misconception that translating materials to Spanish may be enough to serve or work with Latinos. But soon we learned that we need an approach that's more culturally competent. And the research consultation has served several researchers and other providers who want to learn about what to do and how to better target the Latino population.
Raquel, what coping skills did you learn in testimonials? Can you give me an example?
Un ejemplo,
hacer ejercicio.
So I learned to exercise.
Y también hablar con otras personas.
And talk to other people.
Y estar como con más activas, más hacer ser más positivos en nuestra vida.
To be more positive in our life, knowing that we have problems.
Creo que la positividad es algo más importante que
positivity is something very important
para poder
that we have to have to cope
nuestros problemas.
With the problems that we have.
So if you feel stressed, there are ways you can think about it to get the stress under control?
Sí.
Yes.
He aprendido que es como haciendo actividades.
I learned that doing different activities
libros,
or reading.
Salir a caminar.
Going for a walk.
Comer saludable.
Eating healthy. That helps us.
A estar menos estresados.
To be less stressed.
Monica, what have you heard from other people who attend these outreach programs? What does it mean to them to have a safe place to connect with others?
There was a mom who's an immigrant. She came here 12 years ago, I think. She has two kids, U.S.-born kids. And she was very stressed when she joined our wellness program. After meeting our group and getting together every week, I heard her say after a couple of years, we had a conversation about something unrelated, and she said, thankfully, I found this program, and that made my life better. There's nothing that can pay that. It was amazing. And I think the passion that the faculty, the researchers, and my team and have for the work that we do at Centro Sol, we really believe in our mission. I have other women and men who come to me and say, it was thanks to this program that I was able to fix this. Oh, now I can talk about my problem. I couldn't talk about my problem for many years, and now I can. So yeah, it's always a story of coping and overcoming challenge. And that's great. And also trust and building community.
I'm grateful to you both for talking to us about it. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Gracias.
You're welcome.
Monica Guerrero-Vasquez is executive director of the Latino health organization Central Sol. Raquel Rojas participated in Central Sol's outreach group Testimonios at the On the Record page at WYPR.org. We have links to more information about Central Sol's clinical and community health programs. This is On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. Glad you're listening. Join us again tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to this segment of On the Record with Sheila Cast. You can catch the show on the radio Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 10 a.m. on 88.1 WYPR, your NPR news station. And you can support On the Record and all the other public radio programs that WYPR brings to you. Just click the donate link at the top of WYPR.org. And thanks.